Hi, I'm Dave Scott. Welcome to Living by the Words of God.
Hi, I'm Michaela.
And I'm Chloe.
Thanks for joining us today.
As you just heard, I have some very special people helping me today. Along with many of you, Carrie and I have family visiting for Thanksgiving. My daughter and her family are here, and my granddaughters, Michaela and Chloe, have agreed to help Papa with his radio feature. Please join me in a moment of reflection. One of the greatest expressions of our love as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever the relationship, is to get the words right, to be satisfied with nothing less than the clear intended message from our Creator and Redeemer as written in our Bibles, and then to live that truth before our families. Doing this directs our paths toward eternity, which ultimately is all that counts. We all dread the pain of fractured relationships with those we love. As James McDonald said some weeks ago, there's no pain like family pain. But we must face the pain to point our families beyond the passing pleasures of this world to the next. Part of the reason I am saying this is because the temptation to compromise God's message for fear of damaging family relationships is a clear and present danger. Love for family is a powerful enough social dynamic to direct our attention away from God and His truth. Jesus addressed the potential conflict in Matthew 10.
Matthew 10, 37 through 39. The person who loves his father or mother more than me does not deserve to be my disciple. The person who loves a son or a daughter more than me does not deserve to be my disciple. Whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me doesn't deserve to be my disciple. The person who tries to preserve his life will lose it, but the person who loses his life for me will preserve it.
Two words come to my mind, pain and trust. We must be willing to face temporary pain and find eternal joy. Many of our children professed Christ as Savior when they were very young, and now that they have reached teenage years and beyond, we see no evidence of a walk with Christ. Other of our children remain faithful in church, but we know as parents that their heart attitudes are not consistent with a follower of Jesus. We must love them enough to face the pain and confront them with the truth, and trust God to speak to their hearts. This has been a message to me. Pray and trust. God really listens. God really answers. If there is anyone who should be able to confront our children with the truth of God, it should be us. We cannot selfishly keep the peace of this world and ignore the eternal destiny of those we love so dearly. As a parent or grandparent, we must be willing to absorb the pain of rejection for their opportunity of restoration with God. Love that does not deal with that truth is not love. Temporarily easing their pain or disappointment at the expense of eternity is not love. True love directs them to the cross of Jesus Christ. True love directs them to lose the lives they are clinging to. So I would encourage you to express your love to mother or father, son or daughter, by not loving them more than you love Jesus Christ. Now the girls have some things to share with you.
Hi, here's some helpful information for you.
You may contact us at livingbythewordsofgod.com or by telephone at 466-9503, locally Terre Haute, or toll-free at 1-888-419-4418. You may order our study book on the web by phone or purchase it locally at the Open Door Christian Store, bookstore.
Remember, you may view the book for free on the website.
Each radio program is archived online for access anytime. Just click on the radio highlights link or the Dave Radio Study button, and you will be linked to the correct page. We also invite you to listen to our daily highlights on Word Power Family Radio, Monday through Friday, mornings at 7:04.
Now here's Papa. Dave.
Last week, we began to look at God's holy wash cycle. Read, write, reflect, and respond. We focused on reading and writing, so today in Lesson 3, being called and cleansed by the words of God, we will continue with reflecting and responding.
Our overview is 3.1, highlighted resource, Dictionary of Theology, 3.2, God's Holy Wash Cycle, Parts 3 and 4, Reflecting and Responding.
3.1, highlighted resource, A Dictionary of Theology. Boring, not relevant. Very possibly your first thoughts when seeing this resource listed. However, give it a chance and you may find A Dictionary of Theology to be one of your most valuable tools. I first discovered this tool when I was a freshman at Moody Bible Institute. I was trying to better understand the concept of either redemption or sanctification, maybe both. Anyway, I could find no help in the Bible dictionary I was using, and after asking around, discovered Baker's Dictionary of Theology. Later, this book was expanded to become the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology, and I am sure there are others. These are the two I possess, and I have found them invaluable. A dictionary of theology helps you make sense of words such as sanctification, imputation, and redemption. Remember, we need to understand the words to continue the thought that God is revealing to us. A dictionary of theology will usually give you a pretty thorough answer without completely overwhelming you with a huge amount of content. Even while saying that, I would still warn you that it is very easy to be overloaded with information. We need to work to bring this information together. And although you will still run into theological biases, impossible not to do, the Dictionary of Theology is an excellent tool for your initial excavation of the passage. Typically, the words are explained, not the entire text, so you are still not having someone tell you what your text means before you have opportunity to examine it further. One principle to follow when doing your research, be careful not to fall in love with a concept or an idea before it is proved to be true. I discuss this more fully in Part 1, Appendix C, but the point is that we can become so enamored with a thesis that we ignore the evidence of later research. Principle: work to organize and refine my research to help crystallize my understanding and communicate God's truth. Pastors, Sunday school teachers, this is another way to love your neighbor. I heard Chip Ingram commenting on his study one day. He had some tremendous truth, but sharing it in its present form would have been like a shotgun blast. He wanted to refine the study so it would be a rifle shot. Out of his love for those he was speaking to, he would work as hard as he possibly could to penetrate their consciousness with the truth.
Next is 3.2, God's Holy Watch Cycle, Parts 3 and 4, Reflecting and Responding. A.W. Tozer, in The Pursuit of God, tells us this: the modern scientist has lost God amid the wonders of his world. We Christians are in real danger of losing God amid the wonders of his word. We have almost forgotten that God is a person. Every age has its own characteristics. Right now, we are in an age of a religious complexity. The simplicity which is in Christ is rarely found among us. In its stand, our programs, methods, organizations, and a world of nervous activities which occupy time and attention but can never satisfy the longing of the heart.
Tozer spoke of the simplicity which is in Christ. Reflecting on God and His Word gives God the opportunity to push all the noise and distractions aside.
Psalm 1 and 1-2. Bless the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
Reflecting: to think or consider seriously, to meditate, ponder, to engage in contemplation, to ponder or consider thoughtfully. We need to learn to sit in the presence of God and listen and think. Read the words of God and then just sit in the silence before Him. Let me say this. When I suggest reading, writing, reflecting, and responding, I am not saying this is a rigid order to follow. As long as all four things become part of our lives, we are opening ourselves up to the truth of God. Sometimes the best thing to do is to sit quietly and think and listen. I love to sit in my study in the morning, especially, and turn off all the artificial lights and sit in the partial darkness with only the light of a new day coming through my window, and sit there with God, and pray, and listen, and be quiet. Sometimes inspiration will hit, and I practically leap from my chair to look at a verse in my Bible, or write a thought down before it flies away. But sometimes I just sit there and share the morning with God. I love this, and it makes me so ready for my day, because God has gotten my attention for even a little while. Even if just for a little while, when I have bowed before God in this way, my eyes begin to open for the day. But beware the thorns.
Matthew 13:22. The seed planted among us thorn bushes is another person who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitful pleasures of his riches choke the word, so that it can't produce anything.
We must have time to sit in the silence of God's presence before everything in our day drags us back to earth. 30 minutes reading our Bible but preoccupied with thorns of the day's events is not very profitable. Better even 5 minutes on good ground with no thorns, where we can actually hear God instead of just reading words on a page. Don't miss the distinction. 30 minutes in God's presence is better than 5, but any amount of time where we can actually be in God's presence is invaluable. Principle: don't let the thorns of worry and wealth choke the words. Reflection is not fluff. Call it meditation, spending time with God, quiet time, whatever, but I would encourage you to not downplay the role that reflection has in your spiritual growth. I know I mentioned sitting in my study earlier, but on work days I don't have time in the morning to sit in my study for 30 minutes. I could get up earlier, but then too much of my thought is given to getting to work on time. What I do is leave early, sit in the parking lot in my truck, and read and pray. No worries about traffic or weather. I am already on site, and I can devote my full attention to God. Seeing God and eternity gives me the perspective I so desperately need for the day. Now responding. I wonder sometimes if this is where we most misunderstand God and His call to obedience. God must shift our thinking and transform our minds as we respond to the invitation to live by His words. How do we answer the voice of God? As we read our Bibles, we learn from the accounts of the lives of the people in the Bible. The people whom God has put on display as our examples. Here is a hint. Sometimes our Sunday school stories read like highlight reels instead of true life. That is not what God intended. It is not what He wrote in the book. Look at the lives of David, Solomon, Abraham, Lot, Ruth, Jacob and Rachel, Isaac and Rebekah, and on. Very, very imperfect people. And yet they were commended for their faith. David was a man after God's own heart. But look at the shocking truth of his life as revealed in Scripture. You see, we respond to God's word through success and failure. Sometimes we do it right, sometimes not, but that is God's process of sanctification. God calls us to respond to His word in our failures and in our sinfulness. Something is drastically wrong when we narrow truth down to a custom-fit set of rules and regulations which make us look and feel moral and righteous, but in reality all that happens is that the inside of the cup does not get cleaned. The Pharisees in Jesus' time did that, obeyed God in handpicked details that made them look great in the public eye. But they missed the main point of God's teaching. Their pursuit of man-made morality diverted their attention away from true righteousness. The true path of righteousness pursued is strewn with failure and the confession of sin. We must try to understand the relationship between faith and failure. If we do not understand the relationship between faith and failure, weakness and strength, then we do not understand God's way of doing things. As we hold fast to our confession of Jesus, the Son of God, our weaknesses will be exposed, but we continue boldly. Hebrews 4:15-16. For our high priest is able to understand our weaknesses. When he lived on earth, he was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. Let us then feel very sure that we can come before God's throne where there is grace. There we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it.
Remember, you can reach us online at livingbythewordsofgod.com or by telephone at 466-9503, locally to your home, or toll-free at 1-888-419-4418.
So, for Michaela and Chloe, I'm Dave Scott. Thanks for listening. LivingByTheWordsOfGod.com.